We have two readings today. The first one is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Matthew chapter 2. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Good morning, everyone. As John has said, my name is Henry. I've lived in Hong Kong for 30 years, but I'm originally from Ireland. I've got a friend in Ireland who gives little gospel leaflets to people that he meets. And at this time of the year, of course, those pamphlets have a simple drawing of a nativity scene. It looks a bit like this. The bold red letters at the top ask the question, "What's wrong?" And of course, what's wrong is that at the center of the picture, Jesus is replaced by Santa Claus. It's provocative. It's meant to get you thinking. What is Christmas all about? Is it really about reindeer and Christmas trees and tinsel and presents and parties? And what does a baby in the manger have to do with it? Who is that baby? Who's that baby at the center of the Christmas story? That's the question we're asking today. Well, it isn't Santa. Any child at school will be able to tell you that the baby at the center is Jesus. But who exactly is he? Is he just from a storybook, or did Jesus really exist? And if he is a real historical figure from 2,000 years ago, how many of the stories that we know about him or hear about him are really true? Can we trust the narratives about the shepherds and the magi, the wise men from the east, angels, a manger, and the star? Are those stories true? This month's National Geographic has on its cover the real Jesus, what archaeology reveals about his life. In it, Eric Mayers, an archaeologist from Duke University, is quoted as having said this: "I don't know any mainstream scholar who doubts the historicity of Jesus." Interestingly, the article goes on to say that archaeology is largely silent on where Jesus was born. And it states in the magazine, "After all, what are the odds of unearthing evidence of a peasant couple's fleeting visit 2 millennia ago?" But then carries on. It says, "If the trail of the real Jesus has gone cold in Bethlehem, it grows much warmer 65 miles north in Galilee." And the writer of the article says, "I continue to be marveled at the many archaeological discoveries made in Jerusalem and elsewhere over the years that lend credibility to the scriptures and traditions surrounding the death of Jesus." Today we're looking at his birth. We're going to be looking at two sets of visitors that came to see him, to Bethlehem. The Magi from the east, so sometimes we call wise men, and the shepherds. It's true that these stories of shepherds and wise men are from the Gospels. Matthew, one of the Gospel writers, tells us about the Magi, the wise men. And Luke, another Gospel writer, gives us the story of the shepherds. But although those two stories are only found in the Bible, we should remember that the scholars say about the Bible that compared with other ancient manuscripts, there is more evidence than 10 pieces of other classical literature put together. So let's think a little bit about these visitors. First of all, the shepherds. Luke is the one that tells us about them. He was a doctor. He was a superb historian. And he tells us that they were minding their sheep at night when an angel appeared and said, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Messiah, the Lord." Initially, they were terrified, but very soon they saw a huge number of angels, a choir, singing God's praises. And after that heavenly choir disappeared, the shepherds set out for Jerusalem to see what the angel had told them about. They went there to Bethlehem to see for themselves, and there they found a baby in a feeding trough, an animal feeding trough, wrapped in tightly in strips of cloth. In the town, they found Mary and Joseph with the baby lying in the manger. And of course, they related to all present the things that they had experienced, and everyone was totally amazed at the story that the angels brought. But let's recall what the angel said to them. The words are on the screen. It says, they were told that in the town of David, and that is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And in that short sentence, there are three names associated with the baby. First, he is called Savior, then the Messiah, and finally, Lord. New Testament writers like Paul and Peter and Luke and James, they all refer to Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the same three names. So let's take a look at them. Jesus, or Savior. Jesus is the name that was given to the baby before he was born, that Mary was told to give to her baby. Like all Jewish names in the ancient world, of course, it had a meaning. And Jesus means Savior, the one who would rescue his people from their sins. This baby in the manger that we're celebrating today is a Savior, a rescuer. His contemporaries referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus was the name that his family and his friends would have called him. His name reminds us that he is the Savior of the world. And that's what the angel told the shepherds. Savior. The second name was Messiah. He's also the Messiah. This isn't so much a name as a description, like doctor or professor. In particular, it describes his calling. In Greek, Messiah is translated Christ. Christ or Messiah. What does it mean? It means one that is sent by God, one that is anointed by God. Jesus of Nazareth was the anointed one, sent by God. He came from God. So Jesus Christ means that this historical person, this baby in the manger, is the Savior commissioned by God. Paul put it like this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, came into the world to save sinners. And the last word that was given to the shepherds was the Lord. The baby was called the Lord. That means that he would have power and authority. Now, while the title Lord is sometimes used in the Bible to mean owner or master or perhaps sir, it's more commonly used in the higher sense to mean and refer to God. So when the angel describes the baby to the shepherds, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, as the Messiah, the Lord, it was a declaration that this is none other than God himself visiting our planet. What an incredible claim. And it explains why the angels set out excitedly to see for themselves what the angel had told them. The second set of visitors are the Magi from the east. They came to Jerusalem looking for who they said was one born king of the Jews. Now, in those days, people studied astrology. They considered that the steady course of the planets or the stars represented a settled order in the universe, and when that order changed, something was changing on earth. And so the Magi, the wise men, they were learned, they were well educated, but we don't know how many of them there were, and we don't know exactly where they came from, and we don't know if they were what their profession was. Back home, however, they had seen an astronomical sign, something special. that was taking place, and they interpreted it as something that was taking place in Israel among the Jews, and so they set out for Jerusalem with gifts for a king, for a child. They went initially to Jerusalem, and that was just a detour, and then they headed to Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem's only 4 or 5 miles from Jerusalem, so it wasn't a very long journey. And Matthew says that when they got there, they found the child with his mother, and they fell down and worshipped the baby. He says then that they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There were three gifts. Let's think about them in turn, and let's start off by looking at the gold. The Magi thought the child that they came to see was a king, and so they brought him a gift that was appropriate for royalty, gold. Kings and queens wear golden crowns. They rule with a golden scepter, and so the Magi brought gold to this king. Make no mistake about it, the baby born in Bethlehem is indeed the king of the Jews, and he's much more than that. He is the king of kings, and he is the lord of lords. But gold for a king forces us to ask ourselves a difficult question. Who sits, if he's a king, who sits on the throne of my life? Is it Jesus? Someone has said this challenging message. If we won't have Jesus as our king in this life, we won't live in his kingdom on the other side of death. Is Jesus our king? If we won't have Jesus as our king in this life, we won't live in his kingdom in the other side of death. The next gift was frankincense. What is that? I mean, do we have that much in Hong Kong today? Well, it comes from tree resin, and it was used to produce incense and perfume. Thinking about perfume, you know, shopping centers in Hong Kong use particular fragrances so that you can identify a shop by its scent or fragrance. Just think about Abercrombie & Fitch, for example. Or IFC. You walk into it and you identify it immediately as the particular shop because it had a fragrance. Now, Jerusalem, in the temple in Jerusalem, incense was burned night and day, and it produced a sweet-smelling cloud that was always permeating the surroundings of the temple. The Jews believed that God himself dwelt among them and that his dwelling place was the temple, and so they identified the fragrance of incense in the temple with God's presence there. That instantly recognizable smoky fragrance in the temple reminded the Jews that God was present and that he wanted a relationship with them. But Christians believe that it is Jesus who bridges the gap between God and human beings, that he is the mediator between God and us. Relationship with God is possible because Jesus makes it possible. If you want to find God, Jesus said, I am the way. If you want God to be close, Jesus said, if you love him, both God and Jesus will come to you and make their home with you. So you can't get much closer than that. And lastly, the Magi brought myrrh. Myrrh and frankincense are both come from the resin of small but different trees. They grow naturally in countries like Oman, Yemen, and Somalia. For centuries, they've been used for incense and perfume. Myrrh was also used for pain relief, and it was used in embalming dead bodies. Huh? This is a birth of a baby. It almost seems offensive that you would bring a gift for embalming dead bodies. It casts a shadow that points to death. But it was always God's plan that this divine child would grow up and die for the sins of the world. Jesus knew his mission. He said that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, he said, and after 3 days rise again. So we asked right at the beginning, who's that baby? Well, the shepherds and the wise men tell us who the baby is. From the Magi's gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we see, first of all, that he is a king. But if he is a king, is he my king? Does he rule over me, or am I determined to be the captain of my own life? Frankincense lets us know that God wants to be near us and he wants to draw us to himself. But do you have Jesus in your life? Or are you living as if he doesn't exist or doesn't matter? And myrrh points to his death that reminds us that he loved us and gave himself for us. What about the shepherds? What do we learn from the shepherds? They were told that the baby born in Bethlehem was a savior who was also the Messiah, the Lord. This was no ordinary child. This was God himself coming to earth as a human being, as a baby. Through Jesus, God had become one of us, but he always remained Lord. He is Lord, and he is the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one that was promised to Israel and promised to all of mankind for centuries. The day had arrived, and God's special messenger, the Messiah, was born, and that was worth sending a host of angels to sing God's praises and to proclaim the good news about the baby that was born. And he is the Savior. He is the one who would rescue the world from its chaos, its rebellion, its self-destruction, to bring forgiveness, love, and peace to all who would believe in him. Both the shepherds and the Magi responded when they heard about the Christmas baby. The Magi set out on a journey, and they brought gifts, and when they saw the child, they worshipped him. The shepherds rushed to find the baby, and they went away praising God. And right now, here in this room, we are all responding in some way or another. Some of you might be a bit restless and wonder when the talk will be over. Well, it's almost over. Some are distracted and thinking about other things in their lives today and elsewhere. Some are worshiping and giving God thanks for the baby that was born in Bethlehem. And some might even be questioning the things that have been said this morning. Is he really God, this baby? And does he rescue us? Is he Savior? And does he want me to be close to him? And if so, what does he want me to do? So let's take time at the end and ponder the real Christmas story, asking who's that baby, and using the words of the poet Christina Rossetti to guide us to the right response. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. Let's finish now, and let's all say this together, this verse of Christina Rossetti's poem, and say it together with me. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. Thank you.